for 28 years. So, luminous pragmatism. We will honor this this show. Let our blessing dreams spiral forth to guide us all through danger. It is Fun Drive. We are honoring Rafit Alarir and Harriet Tubman, that we may invite the best in them to live through us, guide us at this harrowing time. Rafit's book, If I Must Die, was published posthumously on December 10th, just now, and it's one of our pledge enticements, as is Taya Miles's book, Night Flyer, Harriet Tubman and the Faith Dreams of a Free People, whose effective participatory animism is exactly what we all need to ally with flora, fauna, fungi, and mutual aid. So, luminous pragmatism, Taya Miles writes, she says, my offering of a new term for Tubman's life approach or practice, luminous pragmatism, was inspired by Diane Glave's description of enslaved people's orientation to nature. African Americans have long envisioned the environment in luminous and evocative ways, while at the same time remaining pragmatic and realistic about the wilderness. We go, right, luminous pragmatism, vision and awakening. So I light the umpepu. We get to do magic here this hour. Umpepu is a kind of muti. Muti means power and medicine. It's from the Sangomas. And they said, if you are meeting with dedicated people, you may use this. It opens the channels to the ancestors, lighting it now by telepathy. We all have this too. And calamus root for speaking the truth, and it clears up brain fog. So that's wafting out to all of us. So today, December 12th, it's Santa Lucia Day, or the Virgin de Guadalupe Day. It was the old winter solstice. And once long ago, I was in the Grand Hotel in Stockholm, and on December 12th, the door opens in the middle of the night, and people, angels, came in with candles in their hair, because the Swedes are not scared, right? singing, you know, and offering glug, mulled wine, and cookies. And they sang, and then they would withdraw like a dream. And it's like, okay, that's a wonderful thing, you know. And so it is the day of light. We are in Fun Drive, and so we are beginning with wonderful Waikuki Tangi and Tanya Wolfgram from our Bioneers Kahooting long ago. And just chant along with him. It's Waikuki's exhortation that when we paddle together, we can get through dangerous rapids. And our friend David Grimes saying, in the most dangerous of rapids, there's always a silver tongue of calm. You want to find that. So here's Waikuki Tangi.
Kia mau.
Hi.
Hi. Tēnā tautau.
Hi.
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 Row in the canoe.
Hi.
Hi. Rini wa
ka hi.
Te re wa
ahi.
Te re kita
ahi.
Tai kita
ahi.
Haka tuate
ahi.
Tauai tawhiti
ahi.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. Ka ngā hau e wha e ngā guru nei.
Au, au, au e ha.
Hi.
Hey, that's right. So that's an exhortation. Also, we are in Fun Drive, and to pledge for any one of these wonderful books, If I Must Die by Rafit Alarir, for a pledge of $120. It was just published a few days ago, and we want it to go to spiral forth and be big. And also Night Flyer, Harriet Tubman and the Faith Dreams of a Free People, by Taya Miles for a pledge of $150, and many, many other wonderful things, but by calling 800-439-5732 or going to the website kpfa.org, where you will see many, many wonderful things. We're particularly dedicated to these two books, If I Must Die by Rafit Alarir and Night Flyer by Taya Miles. Rafit Alarir's If I Must Die for a pledge of $120, Night Flyer for a pledge of $150. So, If I Must Die, Rafit Alarir was written before he was targeted and killed by the Israeli airstrike December 6, 2023. His daughter had written a note to him after his death, and she and her son, to whom she refers in this note, were both killed in a later airstrike in Gaza. She wrote to him, I have beautiful news for you. I wish I could convey it to you while you are in front of me. I present to you your first grandchild. Do you know, my father, that you have become a grandfather? This is your grandson, Abdal Rahman, whom I have long imagined you carrying, but I never imagined that I would lose you early, even before you see him. Ah, and she was killed then as well. So if I must die, let it bring hope, let it be a tale. This book that is just published now, that is available to all of us for a pledge of $120, or any amount is really great to donate, 800-439-5732. But it's the copy says, it's a rich elegiac compilation of work from the late Palestinian poet and professor Rafat Alarir, brings together his marvelous poetry and deeply human writing about literature, teaching, politics, and family. The renowned poet and literature professor Rafat Alarir was killed by an Israeli airstrike in Gaza City, along with his brother, his sister, and nephews in December of 2023. He was just 44 years old, but had already established a worldwide reputation that was further enhanced when, in the wake of his death, the poem that gives this book its title became a global sensation. If I Must Die is included here alongside Rafat's other poetry. Rafat wrote extensively about a range of topics, teaching Shakespeare and the way Shylock could be appreciated by young Palestinian students, the horrors of living under repeated brutal assault in Gaza, one of which in 2014 killed another of his brothers, and the generosity of Palestinians to each other, fighting in the face of it all to be the one paying at the supermarket checkout. Such pieces, some never before published, have been curated here by one of Rafat's closest friends and collaborators. This collection forms a fitting testament to a remarkable writer, educator, and activist, one whose voice will not be silenced by death, but will continue to assert the power of learning and humanity in the face of barbarity. He was the father of six, and we now play If I Must Die audio clip.
We count the years by how many air wars our kids survive. Feeling of helplessness and despair, your inability to provide the protection, the safety, even the love and the hugs. You want to hug your kids like you usually do, but you don't want to do it because you don't want to feel or make them feel that this is like a farewell hug.
If I must die, you must live. To tell my story, to sell my things, to buy a piece of cloth and some strings. Make it white with a long tail, so that a child somewhere in Gaza, while looking heaven in the eye, awaiting his dad who left in a blaze, and bid no farewell, not even to his flesh, not even to himself. Sees the kite, my kite you made, flying up above, and thinks for a moment an angel is there, bringing back love. If I must die, let it bring hope. Let it be a tale.
My name is Rafat Alarir. Gaza is complete and total extermination. It's Gaza is no longer a concentration camp, it's an extermination camp. We were about 30 people, 25 of them children and women. And we had to flee. Usually the nights are the worst because Israel, just yesterday we had the worst night ever. 10 meters away they bombed, from where we stay, they bombed an electricity pole and the glass came down, some of the ceilings came down. We were about to sleep. My feelings are of despair, hopelessness, helplessness. Despair. I am lost. I've given up hope.
So that was the words, the posthumous words of Rafit Alarir. Again, we're offering his wonderful, wonderful book put together by his friends, If I Must Die, for a pledge of $120 by calling 800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. And as our previous show, again, so many great allies, so many great accomplices here and among listeners and among programmers. He had mentioned that KPFA and Pacifica are specifically mentioned by Project 2025 for like, oh, we go, right. So it is for us to create our own trickster Project 2025. That's what we're crafting here of all that inspires us, all that inspires us. You know, and we're in an extraordinary choreographic moment. Let me say it and translate it so we can feel it. Mars, our woofiness, our aggression, our wise animal, you know, how Mars is in the world, stationed, appeared to stand still and retrograde on December 6th. The image where it was stationing at 6 plus Leo is the constellations of the night sky glow blazingly in the desert, the endless unfolding wonder of creation. And what you'll find in Harriet Tubman, also in Rafit Alarir, again, the marvel, the wonder of creation and our alliance with it as that which will also get us through this. So Mars stationed to retrograde, it goes all the way back into the sign of Cancer, where it was when Rafit Alarir was born. Mars as protector, as keeper of culture, as keeper of history. So it goes all the way back into Cancer, you know, stations and goes direct February 27th. And the saying is that when Mars is retrograde, when Mars is retrograde, the aggressor always loses. And we go, all right, we'll work with that. So the next day after December 6th, on December 7th, Neptune, the power of dreams and wonder, stationed to go forward, outward. So our outer life goes inward on a vision quest. What is it we really desire? What are we dedicated to? And Neptune, our dreams, our vision, our imagination, goes outward, outward. You know, we have quintiles abounding in our chart and in the charts of All We Love of Rafit Alarir and also Harriet Tubman, and they are, you know, in a quirky way connected. That's what we're doing this hour. And quintiles are about opening portals to the ancestors, to Rafit Alarir and to Harriet Tubman. So, yes, and we are syncretizing many, many stories here, and part of what we syncretize and bring to us all, you know, is all the many, many stories, many, many stories. We'll be playing quite a number this hour. And then all in the embrace of our participatory animism, our willingness to be decolonized truly. Remember the Thai saying, because we were never colonized, we never lost our animism, our greeting each flower, each plant, each slime mold, each raccoon as a potential ally, like, hello. So there's that dynamic. So we're now going to play Susan Al-Buhawa, And because Neptune dreams vision imagination, may it pour forth, may the power of our radio council pour forth as empathy. We're all in this dream together. We're all one thing. As Deborah Felmuth says, invaluable ally and again narrator in soon weeks about the complexity in Syria, some of which we will touch on this hour. You know, but it's, she says, you know, salam, shalom, peace. It's not the absence of conflict. It's the presence of oneness, oneness. Imagine ourselves as the other, become the other. So here's Susan Al-Buhawa.
If Palestinians had spent the last 8 decades stealing Jewish homes, expelling, oppressing, imprisoning, poisoning, torturing, killing, raping them, if Palestinians had killed an estimated 300,000 Jews in 1 year, targeted their journalists, their thinkers, their healthcare workers, their athletes, their artists, if Palestinians made their children wander barefoot with empty pots, made them gather the flesh of their parents into plastic bags, bury their siblings, their cousins, their friends, made them sneak out from their tents at night to sleep on their parents' graves, made them pray for death. Just to join their families and not be alone in this terrible world. If we terrorize them so utterly that their children lose their hair, lose their memory, lose their minds, if the world were watching the live-streamed systematic annihilation of Jews in real time, there would be no debating whether that constituted terrorism or genocide. You will never understand the sacredness of the olive trees, which you've been cutting down and burning for decades, just to spite us, just to break our hearts a little more. No one native to that land would dare do such a thing to the olives. The mythos and the folklore of the land will always be alien to you. You will never be literate in the sartorial language of the thobes we wear, which sprang from the land through our foremothers over centuries. Every motif, every design and pattern, speaking to the secrets of local lore, flora, birds, rivers, and wildlife. What your real estate agents call in their high-priced listings, quote, old Arab home charm, will always hold in their stones the stories and memories of our ancestors who built them. The ancient paintings and photos of the land will never contain you. You will never know the feeling of masses all over the world pouring into the streets and stadiums to chant and sing for your freedom. And it is not because you are Jewish, as you want everyone to believe, but because you are violent colonizers who think your Jewishness entitles you to the home my grandfather and his brothers built with their own hands, on land that had been in our family for centuries. You can change your names to sound relevant to the region, and you can pretend that falafel and hummus and za'atar are your ancient cuisines. But in the recesses of your being, you will always feel the sting of this epic forgery. You will not erase us, no matter how many of us you kill and kill and kill all day, every day. We are not the rocks that Chaim Weizmann thought you could clear from the land. We are its very soil. We are her rivers and her trees and her stories, because all of that was nurtured by our bodies and our lives over millennia of continuous, uninterrupted habitation of that patch of earth between the Jordan and Mediterranean waters. The fabled, tumultuous stories of the land are quite literally in our DNA. You cannot kill or propagandize that away, no matter what death technology you use. Someday, your impunity and your arrogance will end. Palestine will be free. She will be restored to her multi-religious, multi-ethnic, pluralistic glory. And you will either leave or you will finally learn to live with others as equals. Thank you.
Yes, powerful. And you will leave or finally learn to live with others as equals. Is so strong now, and to honor again all Palestinians and all within us and without, and Rafat Al-Arir, you know, when he was born on September 23rd, 1979, the sun was at 29 degrees Virgo, whose image is, you know, a warning, an emergency warning. And we go, yes. And when he died, we have the time he died. It was 6 p.m. on December 6, 2023. The moon was at 29 degrees Virgo. There's a certain kind of terrible elegance to this. But he bequeaths to us, you know, a warning and a necessity to be cultured and calm and fierce at the same time, and protectors of culture and history, you know, in all of us, and insisting on equality. The Earth herself is insisting on equality. Into Pluto's cauldron we go, speciesism, right? You know, it's like, no, all equal, all equal. And I've been puzzling, you know, the Uranus trickster genius, participatory animism, you know, so much a part of Harriet Tubman and also Rafat Al-Arir that we'll bring up, and so much a part of all of us, you know, is going to station, beginning on the winter solstice. Uranus will station at 23 degrees of Taurus, stay there, stay there, stay there, inward, 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 and go direct at the end of January, and then stay at that degree all throughout February. So when the country of Israel was founded, the sun, S-U-N, was at 23 Taurus. So for the last year, I've been wondering, and with Israeli friends who said, do you think Israel will continue to exist? And I go, not in this form, not in this form. This is a profound transit that is global, and we can feel the, you know, everywhere, anything, anywhere is everywhere, you know, certainly in this country as well, and tyranny, you know, and we'll address the technologies of tyranny, which are global. And that's why it's so crucial for us to have these places of meeting and defiance and protection and safety. So I was wondering, you know, what will the Uranus transit look like? In what form will the current structure of Israel collapse look like? What will that look like? How will it be occasioned? And I think we have an interesting answer here with the year of the snake eating its own tail from a commentator named Aquamarine. So here's that.
I present to you the greatest hits to the Israeli economy. Over the course of the year-long genocide, I have observed these five or six coffin nails that I think have done the job to make Israel go the way of the South African apartheid regime. I'm not sure about the order, but you can tell me. Number one has got to be the downgrade of Israel's credit rating on the world markets. This is a headline from Haaretz. Israelis will be poorer under all scenarios. Israel is just three rungs above junk rating. Word is out on the street that Israel has not been and maybe cannot pay its debts on time or on their own without a lot of trouble in refinancing. I credit this move to the Norwegian Sovereign Pension Fund, which was ahead of the game, and they dumped Israeli bonds right in November 2023, setting off a chain reaction of people dumping Israeli bonds and trying to reclaim their money, and Israel couldn't pay it back without crazy refinancing. Number two is Israel's a huge part of their workforce, which are Palestinians. After October 7th, Israel lost 100,000 Palestinian workers because it suspended their work license. And of course, Israel has been... Now they're trying to replace them somehow with, say, Indian workers, because this labor shortage problem is costing them $828 million a month. So these are actually mostly construction workers. So a lot of construction sites have been put on hold, yet they're very heavily financed and in debt. And if they don't move along a certain schedule, they go bankrupt. And as you can imagine, they haven't been able to fill in these 100,000 vacancies in any good amount of time. So a lot of development projects have gone bankrupt. So we're talking up to $106 billion in bankruptcy in that sector. What's extra creepy is that even before October 7th, the Israeli Foreign Minister Eli Cohen, in May 2023, visited India and signed a deal with India to send 42,000 Indian workers to Israel to replace Palestinian workers. And back then, before October 7th, the trade unions were saying such a step will amount to complicity on India's part with Israel's ongoing genocidal war against Palestinians and will naturally have adverse implications for Indian workers in the entire region. So just creepy that the Israeli foreign minister was planning ahead, as if they knew something was going to happen to Palestinian workers. Anyway, just to say that the Indian trade unions are against it. And in fact, 10 Indian trade unions have gotten together representing 100 million Indian workers to say that they are against sending workers to Israel. So if you can imagine, it's not just the current construction projects that are unable to be finished. Let's say after this massacre of Palestinians, Israel still needs to rebuild because it has damage to its illegal settlement towns, and it can't even reconstruct those because there's no Palestinian workers, let alone it try to settle Gaza or the West Bank. There are just simply no workers willing to come work for the genocidal state of Israel. They're not going to be able to come back from this lack of low-paid workers. In the agricultural sector, they also lost 30 to 40,000 low-paid workers, largely whom were Palestinian and also people from Thailand. Food prices have also risen due to the higher processing costs without these low-paid workers. At one point, this farmer tried to bus in volunteer Israelis to roll up their sleeves, save their nation, and pluck vegetables before they spoiled. But of course, this can-do, feel-good busload venture petered out, and he lost half of his produce and all of his profits. That's what happens when you kill off your low-paid workers. Next has got to be the Houthis choke point at the Red Sea that has blockaded all imports and exports in and out of Israel. This has led to the outright bankruptcy of one of Israel's three ports, the port of Eilat. The port city has been paralyzed for months on end, and the Houthis are 10 toes down with the Palestinians. They aren't letting up. They just need to tweet, and insurance rates skyrocket. And at this point, no major shipping company wants anything to do with going through the Red Sea. Guys, there's about 41 million Yemenis. They are all pro-Palestine, and they are not going to let up. So RIP, Israel's Red Sea route, import and export business with Asia forever, or until Israel is defeated. Coming in at number four is the impression that the world now has of Israelis as almost Satan, according to Israelis themselves. Here we've got filmmakers, publishers, producers, artists, creators, and musicians all saying that they are unwanted internationally. Going forward, how are you going to ever measure what amount of money you could have made when people are just shunning you forever? That's what's happening to the Israelis. Israel's pride over its pager attacks against the Lebanese has eroded every last bit of trust left. What tech or digital venture in the world would ever want Israel, either up or downstream in its supply chain, after something like this? Israel has prided itself in terrorism, digital and technological terrorism. How is it going to come back from this? Israel has lost a lot of international trust by lying through their atrocity propaganda. A huge example, of course, is the 40 beheaded babies who didn't even have names or parents and were not listed in the memorial on October 7th. They are never named alongside the hostages. So Israel is just going down in the annals of history next to Joseph Goebbels as a manufacturer of public consent for war. Number five has got to be the self-trashing of Israel as a progressive liberal society, because even Israelis before October 7th have realized that it is a fascist state and have been quietly exodusing. Doctors have left, academics have left, tech workers have left. They've been incorporating in the United States instead because they don't want their tax money going towards funding fascist ideas. There is actually a number, a threshold, that if a certain number of these middle to upper class workers leave, it will make the economy unviable. But what's funny is that this number hasn't been countable because even the bureaucrats who do the counting have left. Basically, out of its population of about 9 or 10 million people, it's been said that really only 400,000 workers are the most productive in the Israeli economy. And if even just 10% of those people leave, so that is 40,000 people, if 40,000 professionals leave, it makes the Israeli economy go into a critical downward spiral. Number six has got to be BDS. BDS has had immeasurable impact on crippling companies that have tried to come out as Zionists. Starbucks shares have fallen, McDonald's shares have fallen, Pizza Hut franchises have closed, Coke is closing down bottling plants, CEOs have been canned, the diamond industry in Israel has been cut by 48%. The biggest boycott against Israel is, of course, Israel itself. Its tourism industry, which is reportedly worth $5 billion, has tanked. Nobody wants to give this genocidal, freakish, rogue nation any money. And there have been ripple effects, such as illegal settlers can't rent out their Airbnbs anymore. Commercial real estate has cratered because all these tourism spots have had to close. Even residential real estate has cratered because those who've been bankrupt by the lack of tourism can't afford their houses anymore. And of course, no one is buying residential property to make into Airbnbs because they're not viable anymore. I'd say related to BDS is the protests that happen weekly in cities all over the world have really helped the movement against Israel and in support of Palestinians grow. Here we meet community, we get catharsis, and we learn about BDS. And we feel less alone. Not to mention, it's a welcoming place for anti-Zionist Jews. As you can probably tell, I had a hard time ranking any of these effects, but it's a network effect that is happening with all of these converging at the same time, and it will be the demise of the Israeli economy and project.
Well, that was a pretty good response to my wondering, how will the Israeli current state collapse? And may it be liberated, may it be liberated. I love so many retrograde planets. They appear to us on Earth to be moving backwards, which is inward. Again, our desires are moving inward, our desires for freedom moving inward in order to gather woof. Here we are gathering woof to let them fly. And the Diurnal Station on Israel's Sun, S-U-N, when it was born, just to go through the excellent rundown, the junk bond is collapsing, right? The workforce, this is all resident in the USA. You know, it's costing the Israeli government $828 million a month in the loss of construction workers, low-paid Palestinian workers. And we go, yeah, and in this country, we're working on, you know, may tyranny contain the seeds of its own demise. We know that the Dementor Inquisition, you know, in this country where we've outsourced leadership to the lowest, you know, devolutionary nadir of our rogue species, you know, coming in as the Inquisition, you know, but those beings do not play well with each other. They're really like, I've got mine, you know. And so I bring this up from the I Ching always, you know, they say it's the darkest of magic when you put five venomous creatures in a jar until one of them kills and eats the others. And we go, yeah, maybe. So on one level, we go, let tyranny take care of itself, take itself down. But meanwhile, we have stuff to do. It's not like, oh, well, there. And it's like, no, we got stuff to do. And part of the participatory magic is think of it, you know, each person now, think of it as though you're holding a bow and arrow. I have the bow in my left hand, and I'm pulling the bowstring and the arrow backwards with my right hand. And it says, you know, if we imagine that we're moving into a time of increasingly huge changes, what we know that, what's the quality? What's the target? What's the most desirable thing? You know, let our arrows be tipped with compassion, with tyranny as its target. F-tum, f-tum. You know, and to imagine it now, too, our imaginations are powerful and effective, you know. So we have a lot of stationing planets, but at the moment we go, well, Mercury is stationing to go direct on November 15th on the full moon. You know, its image right now is in the cauldron of the Earth, new metals are forming. But we pull our Mercury bow and arrow back, and I like this image, the bow and arrow and the bowstrings of desire, because the arrow going backwards says, we're not we're not making any progress. We seem to be going backwards. But the bow says, no, you're really going to like this. To the extent right now that we dedicate, that we pull in and backwards and take aim, is the degree of forward effective, you know, futum, fum. So on November 15th, we let the mercury, our voice, our community voice, our stories, our myriad stories, our cultivation of nuance and complexity so necessary. Everything is super complex. And to maintain a tranquility of purpose while we're doing this, you know, futum. So Mercury goes direct on the full moon, December 15th, right? So, but then the really big one for us all to work with, Uranus, trickster, genius, participatory animism, equality with the Earth. Either we, you know, if this was a transit to a person, you go, either you cooperate with it or it happens to you. It happens to you. Uranus first began to transit the Israeli state chart, you know, back in September, October of 2023. And it's like, whew, many shows to do on that complexity, right? but here we are. And, you know, taking it backwards and then going, all right, you know, when on January 30th, when Uranus goes forward, outward, that's when we let our arrow fly. We can practice in our mind, you know, going, what quality of change? You know, and may it be, you know, astounding. May it be astounding global rising of horizontal self-organizing community in the most unlikely places. Uranus is trickster, you know, and we go, let's have the unrealistic desirable against all odds, you know, a spirit of democracy arising in the Israeli population going, well, we can't do this anymore. Unimaginable things, impossible things, time of necessary miracles, but also the quality of change, futum, you know, and this station as part of it. Pluto is in Aquarius now. It's at 0 degrees of Aquarius, whose image is being being a beacon to the community in dangerous times. And we go, let's think of Pacifica, the goddess of peace, you know, as that. Let's think of the Visionary Activist Show and KPFA as that, a beacon beaming out, so that we can self-organize as a community, which is the antidote to the toxic mimic of community, which is a cult. A cult, how do we dissolve the cult, right? There we go. And again, horizontal organizing, so crucial. I've also been, you know, reading and listening to David Graeber, wonderful, just again, another ancestor, come on in, The Democracy Project. So many things in that book are essential and crucial and wonderful. He reminds us that we really have not resolved the origins of this country, which was anti-democratic. I mean, those founding fathers were like, oh, democracy, oh, no, that's terrible. But he points out that it was the Onondaga ambassador, the Iroquois nation, that spoke to the colonials and said, you know, form a federation, form a true community of equals. And he took an arrow and he broke it in half. And then he said, now put 6 arrows together, very difficult to break. And that convinced the founding grumpy people, you know, and then he says that leadership could arise from the group, from the community. You know, there's many shows to come on this too, but he said the Puritans were appalled to discover that those whom they called Indians, but they actually called them Americans, did not beat their kids or their wives. They go, that's appalling. If you don't beat your children or your wives, then all of tyranny will collapse, and that's a terrible thing. And Graeber talks about, you know, the spaces outside of governance and church, and the Seneca, the Onondaga, the Mohawk, the Cayuga, the Oneida, you know, were teachers of democracy. And he said this delusion of Western civilization, the delusion that Western civilization exists, you know, and that democracy started in Greece, he said, let's dissolve that. Democracy, only the word was invented in Greece, and it was used as an aspersion, like, ooh, the rule of the people, ooh, fuh, you know, as opposed to humans as equals. And Graeber said, this is as old as history. You know, democracy is everywhere. And one of the intriguing things that he says is that the Puritans were like appalled at the influence. They called the indigenous people Americans. These were the first Americans in the mind. And they said it was It was their influence on the settlers that was making them more, you know, egalitarian and not beat their children, you know. And so we go, oh, yes, and their participatory animism, all of that, all of that. So, yes, so let's have the arrow fly. We have many people to thank. Let me do that. So thank you, Anonymous in Cupertino, who pledged and wants the credit between the Visionary Activist Show and the Grateful Dead Show. That's perfectly wonderful, right? Anonymous in Mill Valley. I'm so grateful for the programming you provide. Wish I could give more. I love the Visionary Activist Show, Against the Grain, Democracy Now!, Behind the News, Talkies. I could go on and on. Thank you, thank you. Anonymous in Forestville, thank you. Hi, Caroline, we need your constant redirection of what is bad or depressing towards what is good to keep us going in the dark. It's in all of us. It's in all of us. Thank you to Anonymous in Santa Rosa. Democracy Now! Is the best. Is the comment. We go, well, as you know, the Visionary Activist Show is Democracy Now! On mushrooms. It's the entheo version, right? And that's part of it, because the entheos, everything is trying to help the rogue humans, right, including the entheogenic sacraments that increase our participatory kinship, going, oh, everything is alive, and the gates of participation are indeed opening. We'll have many more shows, backwards and forwards, you know, to honor our, you know, entheo sacraments, whether you just say the word entheogens or psilocybe mushrooms and, you know, swallow a dust ball, that's good too, or microdosing. We have shows on microdosing coming up as well. All of these are assists, part of our democracy, and in our democratic animism in all forms. So, yes, thank you, Democracy Now! On mushrooms. Yeah, we began the same year, 1996, Democracy Now!, but they work harder, you know, they just do all this, they get up, they do it every day, but it's the same hum, right? And we go, and thank you so much also for Susan in Pacifica, California, who pledges for If I Must Die, Poetry and Prose by Rafit Alarir. Yes, for a pledge of $120 by calling 800-439-5732 or online kpfa.org. Super wonderful. And Jen in San Bruno, thank you so much, Visionary Activist and Libran. That's super great. So we are exhorting so many ways to participate, you know, and just our choreography. So remember or keep in mind, entertain the possibility, believe nothing, entertain possibilities, because if we believe in something, even if it due to some quirk happens to be the truth, we're still outsourcing our autonomy. We can know things by earning it, but entertain the possibility that Ioannis, trickster genius, spirit of democracy and equality, and may we all embody democracy in our manner of relating, in our ally etiquette. Because Ioannis, again, it's trickster genius, it's coyote, it's raven, it's against all odds, it's seeds that sprout after cataclysm. It's within us all and connects us to everything outward that is, you know, ingenious and dedicated to liberation and democracy. And it's stationing. You know, and so imagine again that we're letting the arrow fly, you know, on December 15th, why not? That's one arrow. On January 30th, that's one arrow. And these huge restructuring, you can hear in the splendid rundown of Israel complicit in its own economic demise, there's a lot. Well, it's good that we have a show. It's good that we have a station. It's good that we, because there's so much to cover, you know, for all of us. So the junk bonds and the workforce, you know, losing and that hums in America as well. The dementors are already squabbling among themselves, and we go, that's good. We will be busy. We will be dedicated. You take yourselves down. But the big money people are already, the big money dementor Republicans are already going, well, if you deport everybody, that could be economically bad, like in Israel. And the Christo-fascist, you know, Theo bros are like, no, do it anyway. Cruelty's the point. And so, yeah, and then everything in that recent audio clip we just heard, you know, creepy that the Israeli foreign minister went to India to negotiate to have 43,000 Indians come as low-paged workers to Israel. But the India trade unions say, no, right? Trade unions, this is a global thing. There's tyranny across the globe. Again, everything everywhere, you know, the appalling ongoing, that crucial point, you know, when people go, yes, what about October 7th? That was terrible. You know, cruelty. We celebrate no death, you know, but But this is an ongoing live-streamed genocide now. It's now. And again, it is crucial to create the climate in which we are effective. You know, and that's why also I think this is a powerful, wonderful book, If I Must Die, by Rafit Alarir. It was just published by his friends December 10th. We love it going out there into the world. That's for a pledge of $120 by calling 800-439-5732. You know, or online, kpfa.org. Many, many wonderful thank you gifts. But again, we're pledging. And I was thinking of so many good people, you know, who have been targeted, who have been dedicated to collective well-being. Thinking of Berta Cáceres, whom I first saw at the Goldman Awards, who was then executed in Honduras for her advocacy, her love, her animism, her politically powerful participatory animism, her love of the river, her feeling that she is the river, that she is the trees, you know. And the next year after her assassination, her colleagues took the stage at the Goldman Awards and chanted beautifully, Berta did not die, she multiplied. Berta did not die, she multiplied. You know, Rafit Alarir did not die, he multiplied. And if you want to be part of his ally, and again, Anonymous in Berkeley, thank you so much, just pledged more. He threw in more, bless your heart, pledged 200 for If I Must Die, Poetry and Prose by Rafit Alarir. You know, again, Rafit did not die, he multiplied. And all of us, as we read his words, as we feel this incredible dedication, as we feel the unbelievable grief and sorrow that he carried for all of us, really. You know, so again, thank you, Anonymous in Berkeley. That's wonderful. You can have this book and do, you know, multiple good, multiple good. It's like, you know, get two birds stoned on one scone. You're supporting this place of convening, this place of magical participatory convening, the Visionary Activist Show, you know, unique in that it hums in many people. I get so many great emails, letters. Yeah, letters sometimes from prison. But you're saying what I'm feeling inside, right? To be a voice for this part of us that is effective and dedicated, and also, you know, magical and kind, which is why we brew political activism, you know, critique, the capacity to hold multiple stories at once, really great. And then also with the entheogenic assist, you know, anything that helps us to be Earth citizens, fully participatory Earth citizens. So, you know, one of the things to beware, you know, there was the rundown of how, you know, the Israeli economy is collapsing, junk bonds and the work fields and the India trade union saying, no, we won't, you know, send. And then the Houthis, right, the choke point in the Red Sea. And as the commentator pointed out, there's 41 million Yemenis, right? And they are, as she said, all toes down for Palestine, right? That you may not have export. You may not have a path through the Red Sea. You go, okay. So all of that. And then, just as a side, I cannot recommend highly enough Rowan Farrow's excellent documentary, Surveilled. Right, so here's the Israeli economy, because it is the primary promoter of surveillance technology in the world and the dangers in technologies of dominance. So we go WikiLeaks, Citizen Lab, whose report on hacking of activists in Catalonia occasioned massive community gathering in the streets. The power of stories. By the releasing of these reports on how Catalonian activists were being targeted by Israeli spyware, people emerged and began to restructure the government, going, oh. So we say this, that community, horizontal organizing prevail against the cult. You know, and so this is crucial. That's right. I know there's people standing by to help me pitch, but I just want to put a little bit of more Harriet Tubman on the table here, and then open it up. And thank you, Anonymous in San Francisco. Anonymous is so wonderful. So let me remind you that If I Must Die by Rafit Alarir for a pledge of $120, so great. Night Flyer by Taya Miles for a pledge of $150 by calling 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. And I just want to bring this in because this beautiful book, Night Flyer, Harriet Tubman and the Faith Dreams of a Free People, will be a companion to me. It is so rich, and everything's so pertinent. She writes, where others saw shut doors and unscalable brick walls, Harriet dreamed into being tunnels and ladders. Submission to re-enslavement was not an option. She did not face that storm alone. We go, oh, it's full of crucial things. She said, God set the North Star in the heavens. He gave me the strength in my limbs. He meant I should be free. Her countercultural belief in a divine of freedom stemmed from her lived experience, moral intuition, critical inquiry, cultural learning, religious feeling, and environmental surroundings. Through her openness to sources of knowledge that we might view as extraordinary today, and her conviction that with God's guidance she had the power to alter outcomes, Harriet Tubman became formidable. And may we be inspired as well by her in that crucial way. Just a few more things to bring up. I just want to, because every page is full of resonant, you know, inspiration that goes to our hearts. Tubman was not only a practiced master of survival strategy, but also a keen analyst of the natural and social worlds around her. You know, it's together, all of those things, the luminous pragmatism. Let's put that in all of our magic backpacks as an inspiration. Her friend wrote about Tubman at the time. She's a rare instance in the midst of high civilization and intellectual culture of a being of great native powers, working powerfully and to beneficent ends, entirely unaided by schools or books. We go, yeah, and then we go back to David Graeber going, right, that democracy arises in groups that treat each other well, of each person, you know, cultivated in their powerful dedication, cultivating their gifts to contribute to the community. We go, excellent. The notion that freedom was for everyone and that black women, among the most oppressed, could lead the way to liberation. I love that. Jupiter is stationing at the end of January at 11 plus Gemini, whose image is, you know, a black woman standing up for all of our rights. And it's like I was feeling that as a heartening thing for the debacle of the election, but no, it's still true symbolically in all of us. Absolutely. So we love that. And oops, just checking this over here. Oh, there we go. Last little bits from this book is so rich. Again, this is Night Flyer, Harriet Tubman and the Faith Dreams of a Free People. So useful to us now. And that's for a pledge of $150 by calling 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. So wonderful. And again, her dream mapping that draws links between the images and vocabulary of her dreams and symbolic as well as ecological associations. Taya writes, I find above all that Tubman's belief in a freedom-loving, caretaking God was both a concept and a convenience, carrying her through the woods and the storms and empowering her delivery of hundreds of souls from ghost lands to free lands. And just every book is useful. Every book, every part of it is useful. Well, that'll do for the moment. Oh, her mental preparation may have been forged through dream work in this same period. The power of dreams. Imagine the desirable. It worked for Harriet Tubman, and it works for us. And let us take our inspiration in that way. So this book is full Night Flyer. You know, Harriet Tubman and the Faith Dreams of a Free People is, you know, full of inspiration. Absolutely. So, all right. So, yes, and Laura is standing by. You can come in and exhort further, Laura. I have other quotes, but yes, we want to have Waikuki Kangi rowing together. Do you want to come in and exhort Laura backstage?
Well, I just wanted to make sure that. That we make as much money as we possibly can and donations for this hour, because we still have $121,000 to go to reach our goal by 7 o'clock tomorrow. So
let's go.
Go team.
Yeah, so I love these books. I love much of what KPFA is offering through the ingenuity of people like Laura. Really good. You can get the zipper hoodie. What the hell? You can get the illustrated guide to nature in your neighborhood. Right. You know, partnering with nature, going out into wherever you are, and just declaring, "I am your wizard. I am your witch. I will work with the powers of nature around me for greater collective good." Is a crucial idea. So yes, 800-439-5732, we don't quite have time to play Waikuki Kangi again as a great exhortation, but he goes rowing together, he. Just as you see that, just go to the phone for fun, for deep fun and dedication, 800-439-5732 or kpfa.org. The phone lines are quiet. They are quiet. Let's go for, participatory animism as the sine qua non, the trickster medicine, because it renders all the other dedications effective. Any way you want to put in your exhortational rousingness, Laura, to get people to, that's right, it's quiet.
Well,
it's
quiet. Well, the phone room has handed me a match. We could go for a match at this point. It's
Alrighty.
Only 4 minutes to go. That's kind of hard to... I guess
no,
we can
no,
do
don't,
it.
Don't waste any time.
Okay.
What is
All
the
right.
match?
That's a $300 match from a Skip in San Francisco.
Skip.
So,
all right, let's go.
So let's
go,
match
team.
That.
We're a rapid response team. We have really wonderful thank you gifts. If I Must Die by Rafit Alarir, published just 2 days ago, for a pledge of $120, powerful, 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 that he not die, that he lives in us, that his dedication and love of his people and the land and culture and syncretism, crossing borders and contributing uniqueness to a global culture. So you're pledging for that as well as this station and this show by calling 800-439-5732. Let's go, team. We've got a match of $300.
There's another caller on the line. So there's one person that stepped up since we just put up that match.
That's good. We're willing to be surprised.
Oh,
like,
two.
That's surprising.
Now there's two.
How wonderful.
Now there's two.
All right,
yes.
Let's go. It's not exactly a stampede, but it's a partner dance. It's a do-si-do. It's Mars and Neptune dancing. It's desire and vision. As the unbeatable combination. That's right. We are eagerly awaiting. So let's do the $300 match from Skip. Thank you so much. It's a good exhortation because we have many great shows, unfurling before us that will all be useful. And we will play, Bunny Wailer next week because it's a wonderful, wonderful anthem, Armageddon. The night has passed. The dark has come. I see Josh shining through the shining sun. Well, we have many things to do. But now we really want to, constellate. This is our community. Venus overhead with Pluto, its image is the cosmic egg, participating in cultural renaissance, our trickster selves against all odds, wonderful. And again, allying with, inching along, Anonymous in San Jose, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
We'd like some flooding, we have, just seconds left. But
yeah, that's 220 to go on that $300 match.
220 to go.
Yes.
Well, let's do it, team. Be surprising. Surprising even to yourself. Because we're pledging for democracy. I was listening since 1964, Blessed Anonymous.
Yay.
In Richmond. That's helpful.
Yes.
Let's,
we're getting there.
Three callers
on the line. There we go.
There we go. Three. Can we hear four? Can we hear five? Five is a quintile. We have quintiles opening portals between worlds using all of our skills. We are Wiccan leaks. May anything up to no good be revealed, rendered harmless, and whatever else we're saying. So Wiccan leaks, that's right. There were many other recordings and stories about the complexity of Syria, which we'll be covering in the soon weeks, because it's like no one story. We want complexity and nuance. You know, and Jupiter right now is a woman giving rousing speech on behalf of the Earth. That's Pacifica, that's this station, that's each one of us, regardless of our temporary age, race, and gender assignment. We're offering wonderful things. Oh, we're on our way out. Thanks always to Kirsten Thomas.